You've always been the future CA. It's not just a goal, it's who you are. Now, it's third year, the end of the first chapter of your CA journey, your degree, and you study your butt off day in, day out. It's the end of the year, and you get your exam results back. You failed. As failure strikes, the identity you've built over these long years crumbles into nothing. Staring at your results, one question consumes you. If I failed, does that mean I am a failure? Once more, we are joined by Naira Motala, CASA, Chief Operating Officer and Director at Ascension Capital Partners, a majority black-owned private equity fund manager headquartered in Pretoria. We chat about how you can distance yourself from the downsides of failure by diversifying your identity. We also chat about why you should not work remotely in the early stages of your career, the power of teaching for your learning, declarative information versus procedural information, the Ascension Accelerate Private Equity Internship, the Performance Process Purpose Ladder of Career Progression, and more. I hope you enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA. Guys, there is something so exciting I have to draw attention to. And that is the Ascension Accelerate Private Equity Internship. Our guest, Naira, has actually created an opportunity for students, something that's not really heard of in the private equity space in South Africa, but for students to actually see what is private equity and to experience what is private equity through Ascension and their internship. So if you would be interested in such an opportunity, I'm not exactly sure as to when it will open, go down into the show notes. Go and see Naira's LinkedIn, go connect with her and send her a message to inquire about this program. Even go to the Ascension website, check it out. It is such a great opportunity to broaden your horizons and get a feel for exactly what we would do in private equity in practice. But nevertheless, if you have not already, check out part one and part two, also linked in the show notes. With that, on to part three.
Yeah, the other, you know, thing that I've experienced is building meaningful connections. Mm. But I think that's something we've already chatted about. Yeah. Yeah, networking, but not using networking word.
Networking without networking.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
And meeting people from all different walks of life, not just people in your industry.
Ooh, that's huge.
People across, like, wherever they may work, or even if they don't work, and people of various ages, old people, young people. Don't limit yourself.
I think a huge thing is just to realize that not everyone knows IS2. I know it's hard to believe, but like when you're in your class and you're just with accounting students all your life for this whole, you know, 4 years, and even in articles, you could be in an audit firm where you've kind of restricted, or when you're in an accounting firm and you're kind of restricted to those people who know the stuff. Like, it's not only those people in the world. And opening your mind, it can be the most enriching experience. Yeah.
Awesome.
Next one.
And I have one recommendation for young people entering the workplace. Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a contrary view.
Okay.
But my recommendation is, don't choose to work remotely when you're starting your new job. Don't. You're going to miss out on life. It's the equivalent of, I'm sure, you know, while you were studying, you went through COVID while studying.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of that, having an on-campus experience versus a remote experience. It's completely different.
Mm.
We are humans. We're designed to connect with other humans.
Mm-hmm.
We can only truly, like, learn, like, in the best way, through being there physically.
I love that you said in the best way as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember you were just chatting now with me about how you learn. So obviously you chair meetings as a board member. very often or regularly. And how did you learn how to do that? You watched.
I observed, yeah. I was sitting there. I was in the room. Yeah.
If you were not in the room, you wouldn't know how.
No. No.
You know, you wouldn't see the whole room, because in Zoom, everyone's got their cameras off, so you can't even see what the reception is when a person's standing and says that thing. You can't see how they stand in terms of their posture. You can't see their facial expressions. Mm. You can't see the nitty-gritty, details of that. You can't learn the best.
Yeah. No, it's essential. And yeah, we live in a world of, isolation. And for everyone's mental wellness, it's important to connect with humans daily.
Yeah.
I feel like it's important to wake up, shower, put your clothes on and leave your home. Otherwise, there's no distinction between home time and work time. Mm. And yeah, it becomes a blur.
Mm.
Yeah. You just live on a continuous cycle of a never-ending life that never leaves your home.
Hmm.
But I think that's my recommendation for young people starting off work. Hmm. Understand, as people progress in their careers, people have families, things become more complicated. I think it becomes less relevant, and the remote working is a solution. But if you don't have those constraints and you're just a young person entering the work world, 100% show up every single day.
Hmm. No, I back that as well. Just open yourself up more.
Yeah.
And we are going on to, I already have it, but this year.
Oh, okay. So I'd say, develop passions outside of work.
Oh, I love this. I actually wanted to get onto this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's essential. I encourage people, just find hobbies. If you don't have a hobby, that's not a good situation to be in. Build passions, start learning new skills. Go do different sports and just try different things. I'm not saying sign up for something and, commit to becoming pro in it. I'm just saying even try out things and see what you like, see what you don't like.
Mm.
But yeah, keep growing and exploring as a human outside of work, because you learn lessons through sports, through life, through learning languages. That you bring into your work life or your professional life.
Yeah.
Like, even as a student, if you're just studying, it's not good enough. I know there's no time. I don't know. But, you need some sort of other outlet that brings you joy and passion.
Yeah.
That you do just for the pure joy of it.
I think it's to make sure that it's not a chore. It mustn't be a chore. When Naira's talking about diversifying your passions, it's not to say get another job. No, that's... Your job's already in your studies. It's already there at school. Find something that what's a good example? It's like, when you go for a walk, it's not work. That's what your thing should be. It should be like going for a walk.
Yeah.
It should be, playing tennis. It's not a chore. It's playing tennis. Maybe you like poetry. It's not a chore. It's writing poetry, reading. It could be whatever you can put yourself into, because I think we need to also not lose ourselves in, because this thing is hard. The studies, the professions, careers, it's hard. And sometimes it destabilizes us and drives us away from understanding that you are a human being at the end of the day. And it gets into this idea that I was chatting with one of my colleagues about, which is diversifying your identity. When you're not just Miss Accounting, Miss Ifris, Miss Taxation, when you are more than that, what you actually become is far more resilient. Mm-hmm. I even realized the reason why when I failed, I wasn't distraught, despondent, and depressed. It's because I had way more than that. There's, I don't see myself as, I don't see my identity in CASA. That's not my identity. I'm way more. I don't even see myself, my identity in podcasting. I don't see it in writing. I don't see it in all these things that I do and that I like. I don't see it in sports. I don't see it in gym. I am so much more than that.
Mm.
And when you diversify your passions, you realize that this isn't everything.
Yeah.
This isn't everything.
It's highly recommended. Mm. I think that's the a piece of advice I give all my mentees. You know, we've got the student program.
I'm sure we'll chat about it.
But yeah, all the things we're discussing today, health and getting the hobbies, like everyone gets that homework.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. And I also want to emphasize, so that's the passion and keep learning.
Yeah.
Learning whatever you want to learn, like for fun.
Yeah.
And also teaching. I think you've chatted about this on other podcasts of yours, the value of teaching others and how, you know, rewarding it is. And not only that, how it solidifies the understanding in your own mind.
Yeah.
Because you cannot teach if you do not understand.
Yeah.
The more effective a teacher you are, it's actually the better grasp you actually understand whatever it is that you're teaching. I recommend it at no matter what level you are. You can't say you can't teach wherever you are. You can't say, I'm a second year student or I'm a first year student. I can't teach. I promise you can teach. And maybe it's not called teaching, but you've got your peers. There's always someone you can teach.
But I think it's very important and like sort of to caveat that teach the right people, because this, although I'm not particularly perturbed by this, but there is that feeling of rejection when you've been learning about cryptocurrencies and then you come to your dad and you're like, hey dad, cryptocurrencies, and he's like, stop, I'm busy. And it's a little bit sore. Find the people that are willing to give you an ear, lend you an ear. I think another pretty empowering belief is that I sort of believe that if someone's not listening, it means that my message isn't compelling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like you take it as that.
That's how I always take it. It means that I haven't piqued their interest, meaning I haven't actually taken my audience into account. So I need to actually learn how to, because you can't speak in your language. You must speak in theirs.
Wow.
You must say what they're interested in. That's what's going to lend you their ear, and then you can say it. So that it's also a really great just sort of skill to build, to make sure that you're speaking in terms of other people's interests. Mm-hmm. I think it was a rule in a principle in Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think it was insight in others and eager want. And I was like, that's what you have to do everywhere you go.
Sure. It's so challenging.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's actually figuring people out.
People out.
That's like the ultimate challenge in life.
You know? But it's like, how else are you going to be able to give value?
Yeah.
There's no other way. So.
Yeah. And you'll actually be shocked. You're not going to have to go far to find someone who's actually just eager to learn. You don't have to go too far.
Yeah.
There's always someone that is hungry to learn and is desperate for that knowledge that you have.
True.
No matter what level you're at in your life.
True. Yeah. But don't be scared to share. I think share. Yeah. Like I talk with my mother about stuff. Like she's hungry to learn. And then she's such a great person for me to bounce ideas off of. And find that person that you know has the appetite and will be willing to lend you that ear.
Yeah. And then I think I'm just going to take it one more step in business where, I think when you're in a working environment, once you've trained and empowered someone and given them the knowledge, then empower them to shine. For example, if you're doing an investment committee presentation and it's a very important meeting and you've kind of groomed someone, give the junior person, the person who built the models, who did all the research, give them the opportunity to present or present a section. You know, give people the opportunity to not just, you know, let the senior person do all the talking. I feel like you need to empower people. Yeah, teach and give them the chance to go up there and present.
Sure.
Yeah, I firmly believe in that. And don't throw them in the deep end and just throw them, under the bus. But once you've prepared them well, you need to give them a chance to step up. Because, even myself, I was granted those opportunities in terms of serving on boards and things like that. Someone gave me that opportunity. But I also got to learn and be an observer and see how it's done, so that when I transitioned into that role, I was a lot more comfortable. Mm. Yeah. So give people that opportunity. Give junior people the chance to shine.
Because they need you. You have not been a board member since you came out the womb. You did it for the first time.
Yes.
One time.
Yes. So, that was terrifying.
You see? You know? Next one. Is it the last one?
Eh? Yeah, the last one.
Yes.
I just want to emphasize, you know, the humanness in business, like how important that is. Mm. And that goes for showing up authentically. And I say that like, you know, everyone throws it around. Like,
yeah, authenticity. It's a bit of a buzzword now.
It is, but it's hard. You almost need to be in an environment where, if you're in an environment where like the leadership or the people around you are authentic, it essentially gives you license to be authentic.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Where you can, because it's very hard to, it's hard to just say that you can be authentic, because say if you go into an environment and then you don't feel like you fit in or something like that, it's very hard to be authentic. Someone can tell you be authentic, but it's not going to work. So yeah, if you are in that position where you can create that culture of authenticity, yeah, just do that. Allow people to be comfortable with who they are. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was having this conversation earlier with the team. Yeah. I was like, I'll know that I've made it in life when on a Zoom call or Teams call, I can wear a set of headphones with, you know, those cat ears, you know, because, you know, I like cats and I like cute stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, the day I can actually do that in a call and, you know, have a serious call, that's the day that I've actually, like, you know, found my authentic self. So even there, I'm still on a journey on it. It's, I mean, I'm in a very lucky position at Ascension where I feel so free and it's really wonderful. But yeah, there's different levels to it. Like, how much of yourself can you really be?
Sure. Naira, that's deep. That's deep, Naira.
Yeah.
It's such a tough one, because I think there is a level of ourselves that socially we can't be in public, but it's, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's that, it's like, think about it like this. I think about professions as our ways of channeling ourselves through the lenses of the world. Because had I studied engineering, I still would have been me. I still would have actually been me. I just would have been an engineer version of me, you know. Yeah. But
road to engineering,
literally, and road to Eng. That probably would have been the show.
Road to Eng podcast.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but I think it's also such an art, the art of authenticity, because it's again going away from yourself, studying things and going out into the world, and then eventually got to come back and learn how to be yourself again.
Yeah.
But I love what you said around being yourself is an act of giving license to others for them to be themselves.
Yeah.
It's such a scary thing, Naira.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing to be yourself.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, maybe I'm not going to wear those cat earphones, but I'll bring my cat personality, you know. I'll just,
maybe you'll just like in the call, you'll just have it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, there's ways where, you know, you bring your personality and I guess maybe that leads into another question. How much of yourself should you actually bring to a professional environment versus your personal and home environments and amongst your friends? That's an interesting topic. I'd be interested to know your views on how would you navigate that? And do you think you should be the same person, or there should be some professional barriers?
That's such a good question. I think it's a very, very subjective thing. So for an example, like, I think certain personalities or rather certain qualities of people will be looked down upon more in a professional environment. Yeah. Like, I won't go as far to say that your cat thing, your cat ears thing, I don't think that's probably the worst part of it. But like let's say someone, you know, like there's aspects of life that are just a little bit too sensitive And when you bring that to a personal environment, okay, here's a great one. You know, you are a devout whatever religion, right? And you bring that unabashedly, absolutely, to a professional environment. Now it's just a little bit like, today the world is far more diverse, and we've seen how, you know, debates on religion and politics and all sorts of things end up in the workplace. That's where it's like, there needs to be a line.
Yeah.
Because it can, there's risk that this will devolve into chaos. So the levels of us that we should bring, I think, as sort of a blanket rule, should just not distract us from the mandate that we came here to push. That's about it. Which it could be anything. You see, cat ears is not necessarily going to have ascension crumbling down to the floor. So
maybe one day, 5 to 10 years from now, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what the future looks like. I'm sure we'll be like zooming from like another planet, or like team call from, I don't know. we'll have a, like, holographic kind of Teams meeting.
Oh my goodness, please no, Naira. Oh my goodness. You know, Mark Zuckerberg's doing that now, hey? Like, it's coming. Like, you think you're joking, but...
No, a lot of the things we're doing now, like even remote working, like before COVID, if you had to describe the world, it would just seem impossible.
It's crazy, hey?
Yeah, and that's 5 years ago. Like, it would seem impossible.
Yo, it is. It's 4 years ago. Literally, the world was a different place 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. The only last thing I want to chat about is the student program that we run.
let us chat about the Ascension Accelerate student program. What is it? And how can aspiring CAs also get in touch for it?
Okay. So there's not many private equity student programs that I know of in South Africa. So I think this is probably one of the very few, if only
one. It's the only one I've ever heard of.
Yeah. So, I mean, mentorship has always been an important part of, like, my journey throughout, from the very beginning, all the places that I've worked at. And from as I've been going through my journey, when I came to Ascension, I thought it was very important to also create, you know, a mentorship and student program here to give students access to the world of private equity. Because I know when I was a student, I had no idea what private equity was. I didn't even know that this was a career path.
I mean, even when you were a CA, technically.
Exactly. It was not even something that was on the radar.
Yeah.
So I just want more students to know about it, to know about the asset class, to know about the career path and what they need to do and how they need to gain sufficient skills and experience to be able to end up in private equity. Because generally, private equity teams are very lean and small, and they hire experienced professionals.
Yeah.
So you need to know if this is a career that you want to get into, what skills do you need to acquire to be able to enter into this industry? So the student program is a 2-week vacation work program where students will come into our office and they'll go through, you know, rigorous, understanding of what private equity is. And they will also, you know, be given an assignment, and they will also be presenting an investment committee presentation. Sure. So basically living, 2 weeks of what, a private equity analyst would do, financial modeling, analyzing an investment opportunity, what we would do in a real life situation, and present that to an investment committee and see, what are the questions that you get thrown your way? How do you present it? And it's also a mentorship, relationship that we build with our students. So even after the program, you become an alumni, that you're always part of our network. We're there in terms of mentorship, and our students always attend our events, and you're just part of our network going forward.
I love that. I love the exposure angle of it, because that, and we chatted about this earlier as well. Like, I really believe exposure is the only thing you need, because exposure tells you, yes, I do want to do this, or no, I don't.
Yeah. Or what is even out there?
Or what? Like, literally, like,
this exists.
This exists. You know, there's this idea of declarative information versus procedural information. So declarative information or conceptual information is the knowledge of what is, like, What is this? What is private equity? Some people have never even heard the term private equity. Mm-mm. And there's also procedural, which is how something is. It's also called know-how knowledge. And that is the nitty-gritties. Okay, now how does private equity work? Okay, now we're going to get into due diligence. Now we're going to get into origination, into execution. Now we're going to get into all those little nitty-gritty aspects. How does the business model of private equity work? All those little things, and who do I talk to for this, and X and Y and Z. It's nitty-gritty. All procedural knowledge, which is like basically the precursor to skills, because when you know how to do something, you go, you do it, you get a skill, is preceded by declarative knowledge. You have to know what it is before you know how to do it.
Yes.
And obviously you have to know how to do it before you become skilled in it.
Yes.
So just more exposure, more declarative information, more Ascension Accelerate programs.
Yeah.
In fact, Ascension Accelerate's giving you the whole thing. It's giving you declarative, it's giving you procedural, it's giving you actual application where you get to present to the IC, you know, in an IC meeting. You get to go present your thesis. That is such an important thing to give people all of this types of knowledge, all of these types of knowledge and skill.
No, absolutely. It's been an amazing journey. We started it in 2021. And we've had, I can't even remember how many students in the program, maybe about 6 or so alumni. That's
phenomenal.
But yeah, every year we just keep adding more and more. And yeah, we love the relationships we're building with you know, the students, and they go on, like, now our alumni, they're all employed and they're getting into, they're in jobs.
Wow.
So it's actually, for us, it's amazing because now we have a network of, you know, young people that we would never ordinarily have ever known in our lives. And that's why I said your network's anyone. It's your peers. It's your friends.
Yeah.
It's your friends that are not even studying, you know, accounting. Yeah. It's your friends that are not even, you know, studying at university. Maybe they went to go start a business or do something else.
Yeah.
Everyone's in your networks. Mm. And the broader your networks in terms of like age and, you know, diversity of where they are.
Background.
The better.
Yeah. I love it.
That's a very passionate project of mine.
Mm. Yeah. And you're doing it. You are doing it so well, Naira. And it's giving so many opportunities to people who otherwise wouldn't have had. Because as you said, like, private equity doesn't have these programs, but also like places where there's so much value being created often just don't include. It's very exclusive spaces, which I have to commend you in public on a podcast to say you are fantastic.
Thank you.
If you could go back to first year, second year, maybe even high school Naira, what would you tell her?
I'd be like, I'll teleport to the future, listen to Alunga's podcast, and then come back. No, I'm just kidding. The message I would tell the young me is, you are enough. You are good enough. Yeah. It's just a simple message, but in absence of that message, you always... trying to prove yourself, which is not a bad thing. I think a lot of my my issues or the things that resulted in me, you know, burning out, it's like a double-edged sword. Sometimes people's curse is their blessing, and you know or the gift is a curse, and yeah, both, it works both ways. So yeah, the message I am enough would be a good message for me to tell myself, because a lot of the issues that I faced, or the troubles I came along, like such as burnout, and it could have been avoided. If I just knew that I didn't have to do these things and sacrifice and hurt myself in the process of trying to prove myself.
I think a sort of thread around that is everything is in you. It's actually in you. You know, when it's outside of you, there's that chase. There's a lot of that sort of, even to the point of burnout, to the point of self-harm.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that. But when it's within you, everything that comes out is everything that was there.
Yeah.
and it's nothing more.
Yeah.
You know.
Want to get to that level.
Look, I mean, you're getting there. Like, you're already there. No, you're
keep learning.
We're always learning.
Yeah, we're always learning.
We're always learning.
Yeah. But and the most exciting journey is to learn more about yourself. That's the most exciting thing. Yeah. And like, it hasn't ended.
But how crazy is that? Like, we never take the moment to just say, okay, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, where am I?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And I feel like I reached that. I think a lot of people, you hear a theme after 10 years of working, you have that crisis and you're like, because 10 years, it's kind of like a long time.
Yeah.
And you could have been like on autopilot in the sense like you're living each day. It's like, and things are like stressful and hectic and you're doing this job and you're not, taking a step away. And then you reach a point where you just want to question like the meaning and everything. And you're like, is this life? Like, like, what am I doing? Like, this has been 10 years. And I feel like I reached that point. And I think a lot of people do get to that point where you almost have to just step away. You really need like a lot of self-reflection. And yeah, for me, just taking a complete step away from the industry and yeah, doing something completely different was an amazing point of self-reflection and understand, what have I done over the last 10 years? What worked? What didn't work? What's important to me? And then go forward and live that.
Sure, that is big. Hey, like, it gets into this idea of being performance oriented versus process oriented versus purpose oriented.
Yes.
And when you're in high school, you're very results driven. You're just like, oh, did I get the mark? Oh, you know, like, you don't really care about what work you put in or whatever. And then you get to university and you're like, yo, I have to study. And then you have to actually be process driven. You have to think about, where am I every day? Am I studying? Am I consulting? What's my process? And then you get into the work world. You've been in this cycle. You've journeyed and you've worked. Now, why are you working? Why are we here? Yeah. That's what you're kind of talking to.
Like, yeah, you just want to find like, yeah, find that meaning and like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You know?
Like, I've just been going to sleep, waking up every day, going to work. And what's going on?
Yeah.
It's like, you just have like that shock.
I feel like some of it comes from not having thought about where you are in the value chain.
Yeah.
Because I think like, it's very easy. Let's say you work for a bank. You're in like the credit division and you are a credit analyst. You can get so engrossed in that little thing that you're doing that you forget what it is actually you're doing for like the organization, for the country. Like, because at every level there's a value chain that you're adding to. Even in your family, there's a value chain that you're adding to, in terms of, let's say, You're a mother in the family. You are a father in the family. You are a brother in the family. Maybe you're the family accountant. Mm-hmm. You know, like, who are you and why are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, understanding that. And I think where the risk of, like, missing that is, like, basically the reason, like, why I reached burnout. It's because you don't have that space to step away. You always need... That's why I mean, like, all the things we were chatting about today, I was like, health, sleep, passions, you know, you're having a very well-balanced life to, like, to
step
be
away.
Yeah, to be an optimal person, because you need that time out and away to be able to reflect. And where I couldn't reflect is when you're on a, like, on a cycle of you're just going to sleep, waking up, going to work and working till your last moment, and then you're going back to sleep again and you're not even getting much sleep and you're just on the cycle. When do you have time for self-reflection when you're just trying to execute on a job? That's not very healthy. You can't bring the best of you. You're just trying to get output and deliverables out. You can't see a bigger picture. You're just trying to get like this model done or this thing done. You can't see big because you don't have the time to step away. Yeah, so that's why I was like, That's why I'm very passionate about all of these, you know, health related things, giving yourself space, you know, meditation if required. Like, there's so many things that we have so many tools at our disposal. Yeah. I think, like Huberman Lab, Diary of a CEO,
The Road to CA.
Yeah, Road to CA, Modern Wisdom. These are all podcasts that can give you infinite amount of, you know, tools. I think even Dr. Andrew Huberman, he's got, you know, a book called Protocols, and on his...
Is it out yet?
I don't know if it's out yet, but I want that book. Yeah, but everything in his podcast talk about protocols. What are tools that are at your disposal? Zero cost tools that you can implement in your life just to make everything better. So yeah, falling out of the trap of being on a cycle of nonstop work. And I think students can also get onto that cycle. So it's not work, but you're studying.
It kind of starts there.
You know, it starts there where you feel like, okay, I need to be most productive, most efficient. So I'm going to wake up, I'm going to study till I go to sleep, and I'm not even going to sleep very much. And I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do it all over again. You're on the cycle, and that's how you live your life day in, day out. When do you step away and even reflect, you know, of, you know, what are you doing? Is this most efficient? And it's, in all likelihood, it's not. And I mean, I've also gone through those mistakes as well. You know, as a student, I had no idea how to study. You know, you make all the mistakes and you learn as you go along. And even after everything that I learned in my 4 years of university, I don't think I even got to the point at the end where I've developed the most optimal way of living this, like doing the student
life. Being a student.
Yeah, being a student. I could have optimized so much more. But yeah, I just couldn't get to that point. Because but anyway.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
It's a journey.
It's a journey. Few of us ever get there. And I don't think we're meant to. I think the thing about being a student is, you'll probably be the best student when you're done being a student. That's probably when you'll be the best student. Because also, as well, when you're a student, you're learning a lot, some things, if not lots of things, you don't want to learn. But now, when you're out in the world, lifelong learning, it's on you. And there's so many things that are actually really worth learning. You know?
They are. And then it's amazing because once you're done, you know, with your degree and you have CASA, like, anything you want to learn thereafter is all your own choice. Nothing is really compulsory anymore. You can study whatever you want. You can learn, like, I don't know, you can learn Mandarin. You can do whatever you want. There's no limits. You can do CFA if you like that. You can do your MBA. But now it's all on you and what you want.
You are enough. That's the first thing. It's the first thing, Naira, from back then. You are enough. It's in you. It's in you. And it's going to blossom as well.
I hope so.
It will.
I'm still on my journey.
It will. It will. Guys, if you're not already, please, that goodness of belief, follow this. Oh, Naira, you are fantastic. Again, the Ascension Accelerate program is there for you guys. I will link your LinkedIn in the show notes. That's
Thank
cool.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, people can connect with you there. Guys, connect with Naira on LinkedIn. Send her DMs, and she can even send you the brochures and whatnot about the program. And yeah, I hope it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Thank you, Naira.
Thank you, Alunga. And kudos to you for this podcast. Most impressive. Well done.